And we're going to hear now our first Bible reading, which Ian will read for us. Thank you, Ian.
Gospel reading is from Matthew 4, starting at verse 12 to 23. Now when Jesus heard that John, that's John the Baptist, had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the lake, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting nets into the lake, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending nets, and he called to them. Immediately they left the boat and their father Zebedee and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and curing every disease and every sickness among the people.
So we're going to hear now our second reading from 1 Corinthians, which Helen will read for us.
Now, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you should be in agreement, and that there should be no divisions among you, but that you should be united in the same mind and the same purpose. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there are quarrels among you, my brothers and sisters. What I mean is that each of you says, "I belong to Paul," or "I belong to Apollos," or "I belong to Cephas," or "I belong to Christ." Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one can say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Thanks be to God for his reading.
Amen. Thank you, Helen. This passage from St. Paul is fitting for two reasons. First, because today, the 25th of January, is the day when the church remembers the conversion of St. Paul, I'm sure that's a date that's in all of your diaries. I only have this in mind because I was asked to do an assembly on the subject in one of our primary schools a few days ago. And of course it was the subject of our nativity. And the reading is also fitting because today is the last day of the week of prayer for Christian unity. And unity is what the reading is all about. We live in a world now that is changing fast. Old divisions and tensions are being renewed and new ones invented. Prejudices and fears we thought we'd moved on from have been awoken. It's hard to keep track of all of the wars and conflicts. Empire-building dictators are not even hiding their corruption from plain sight. Inequality is growing to obscene proportions. For many, these are hard times financially. More and more are falling into severe poverty. While the world does not have enough to satisfy the rampant greed of those who already have far more money than they can ever count or spend. And that's before we mention our precarious environmental situation. The situation in Paul's world in the first century, the world of the early and emerging church, was vastly different to ours, but strangely similar in many ways. Certainly, violence, corruption, fear, and inequality were rife. And there was an emperor who thought he had a divine right to own the whole planet. But Paul doesn't worry about these things because he believes and trusts in a Lord who is greater, who has in fact risen from the dead, risen with the power to heal and reconcile and make all things new, Jesus the Messiah. So in this letter and others, Paul asks the Christians to focus on unity and love, not to bemoan the problems of the world or to fear them, but to trust in Christ as the solution and to be the difference, to be the light in a dark and divided world, children of the light. Paul writes later in this letter about the body of Christ, the church, being made up of many parts and many gifts that exist to help each other. He urges them to see the importance of Holy Communion in bringing them together in a place of forgiveness. And he points them in chapter 13 to the most powerful thing God has given us, which will in the end conquer all things. That is love. So in this short passage, we hear and feel his dismay as he talks about the sort of petty divisions they are arguing about. What does it matter who baptized who, or which Christian teacher you follow? All really should be trying to follow Christ, and Christ can't be divided. We have a gospel to proclaim, a kingdom to build, a love to share, and it's what the world badly needs. But while we argue among ourselves, two things happen. We waste time and energy that could be devoted to God's purposes, and we become less attractive as a church. I think that's what Paul was trying to say to the early church in many of his letters. We will all have different interpretations of God's word, different ways of looking at things, different gifts to bring. This diversity we have could be positive, so that we can help each other see new perspectives, find new talents among us, and build each other up. Paul knew that rather like lighting little candles in a dark room, the light of Christ in the little churches he was planting everywhere could make a massive difference as the light began to spread. Small things can make a difference. Little things can grow. One way of looking at what Jesus did and is doing is that he set about bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth, but not like an invasion or a flood or a hostile takeover, not by force. It would come through every heart changed, every life renewed, each person moved by God's love, finding hope in each little church, one by one. Jesus still does that, and he does it through churches that reflect his light, and in many other ways as well. But let's not lose sight of our importance and the difference we can make when the fear-driven news we watch tempts us to despair. Our gospel reading spoke of the kingdom of heaven being near. The words of the prophet said, "The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light." And when Jesus and his disciples preached, they did so by word and deed. They asked people to repent, which simply means to turn back to God. And many saw that this was good news, that when they turned to God, God would welcome them. It was good news that the kingdom of heaven had come and was coming to earth. I'm always greatly encouraged when I see that here in this church. My heart is always warmed when I feel that our church community here is a place where people can find the values of heaven right here. A place where people can find the love of Christ, even if they can't yet recognize him in that love or name it for themselves, they know it's something special. A place where people know that we are here for them, not for any gain ourselves, but to serve them. This must be our purpose. Let us be a place of welcome and hope, of warmth and light, of laughter and tears, of supporting each other along the way, whether that's in our church groups, our outreach groups, youth groups, or simply in the way we welcome and speak to all who come here every day of the week. I am thankful for everyone who makes this possible. And when I make mistakes, I'm thankful that the grace of God enables us to forgive as God works to mend us again. We can be a little outpost of the kingdom of heaven on earth. May we continually make our community a place of light and love and unity and grace. We might never see the fruits of everything we do in terms of numbers in our congregation or our membership, but indirectly, perhaps we can play a part just to sometimes help people get through the week, Perhaps we can shine a light further than we think. Perhaps we can help people feel that they have somehow encountered God or seen His light in a sometimes very dark world. May God continue to inspire us as we do just that today and tomorrow and the day after. Amen.